Sunday, the 3rd of March, Chof Avada Aleph, Rabbi Moshe Meir Weiss, Measure for Measure in the Megillah.
Big honor to be here at Torah Way and to share Torah with you. Since the main purpose that my Rebbetzin and I came to London was to be Mavaka Chayla, Mrs. Morel, I'd like to dedicate the share to her. She should have a complete refuah shelema. Chai Rachel Etel Bas Shalamas. It's a Kiddush Hashem to see all of you come.
She's home for my hospital.
She's in the hospital. She was home for Shabbos. It's a Kiddush Hashem to see so many of you come out to learn Torah on a Sunday morning. She'll always be able to do so. So the topic is Mida Keneged Mida. It says, Acha Advarim Ha'ela. Kishoy Hamas HaMelech HaKashverosh Zohar Ez Vashti V'Eis Asher Ososo V'Eis Asher Nigzar Oleha. So it says after HaKashverosh, his anger calmed down, he remembered Vashti, that which he did and that which was decreed against her. So there's a diak. It should have said, Eis Asher Loyasasa. Because the main thing was, her infraction was, is she disobeyed him. He said she should come out unclothed, and she said, no, you can't hold your drink. So really it was, Eis Asher Loyasasa. So the Mefarshim explained, that Zohar as Vashti, he remembered Vashti, the Eis Asher Ososa. And what she did, that she used to be Mafshit B'nois Yisrael Arumais on Shabbos. She used to make Jewish girls, sneer stick at Jewish girls, even married women, work unclothed on Shabbos. And therefore, he realized that it wasn't coincidence. He realized that on the Shabbos day, he summoned her to come unclothed, and she refused, and because of that, her head was put in the discus. It's a type of guillotine. Her head was cut off and brought to him on a plate. But upon further inspection, he saw that it was even more than that. It was known that the Jews had a disease called Tzaraas, which was known that it came, Mitzora is because of Motzira, because of speaking, people speaking bad. And Achashverosh considered to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. He considered to rebuild the temple. It was good business sense, because then the Jews came up, and they traveled, and there was a lot of money involved in that. Remember, Achashverosh was Molach on 127 Medinos, and there would have been a lot of commerce, a lot of good come out of it. But Vashti, his young bride, said, are you crazy? My grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, did so much to make sure it shouldn't be built. And you're going to destroy, and you're going to rebuild it. And she spoke all kinds of Lashon Hara against the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, she got the tzaras, the rash, which stopped her from coming out without her clothing. She treated the B'nai Yisrael like animals, making them work without clothing, and therefore she got a tail. All of this is Mida Kenegan Mida. The Medrash tells us a remarkable fact about Vashti. Medrash tells us that during the 180-day Suda, the 180-day feast, which was in honor of Ahasuerus' marriage to Vashti. You know, in the States we have such a thing as a weekend bar mitzvah. They had a 180-day wedding, which ended up in a guillotine. But, so it says in the Medrash that Vashti had the chutzpah that she wore at the feast, the big day kind of, it's brought down in the Medrash that she put on the tzitz on her head, a woman. She put on the tzitz, the chayshin, the eifai, the me'il, she put on the shmeina big day kuhuna. And because of that, she was punished that she would have to take off all of her clothing. So constantly, wherever we look, is the concept of mida keneged mida, measure for measure. We find, of course, the same thing is true by Haman HaRasha as well. Tells us that Haman said, Yeshno am echad. There is one nation. So the Medrash says, the God, that Haman was to Ahasuerus again. You know, Ahasuerus was a very cautious fellow. He's an extremely cautious fellow. When Haman said, you got to get rid of the Jews, so Ahasuerus said, are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Did you read anything about history? Did you see what Paro did? And he lost 9 million people in the Red Sea. His land was devastated. There was nothing left. It came locust, it came borod, there was nothing left. And then by Yenatzlu as Mitzrayim, they sacked Egypt. Did you see what happened to Sancheriv? He camped outside of Eretz Yisrael, outside of Yerushalayim with 400,000 generals. Did you see what happened to him? Did you see what happened to Nebuchadnezzar and to Belshazzar? Are you crazy? I'm going to start up with these people. What do you think? I was born yesterday. So Haman said, no, Yeshnai am echad. First of all, the Jews, Yeshenim eim in ha-mitzvahs. They're sleeping for mitzvahs. They don't do it with feeling anymore. Second of all, the one that they say, am echad, the one that the nation says, Hashem echad, Yeshenim in ha-am. He's sleeping from them now. So the Rabbi Nishalom said, you said, I'm sleeping. You said, I'm sleeping. That's me, the Kenegan Mida, for saying that Hashem is sleeping. The Medrash goes further, very interesting Medrash. The Medrash goes further and says, Yeshnoi am echad. Medrash says Yeshna is a lashon of Shineyem. Shineyem Gedolim. It's so funny, we hear this from the Goyim sometimes. Shineyem Gedolim, they have big teeth. They're always Eichlin Meshaisim. They're always eating and drinking. It's Sukkos. It's Pesach. It's Shavuos. It's Chanukah. They're always eating and drinking. Always. As a matter of fact, if you look in the letter, that sent the guy from Shani, that Muhammad Marasha sent. So it says, Mapik Kula Shata B'Shohi Upoi. Now people read that, they don't know what it means. Mapik Kula Shata B'Shohi Upoi. What Shohi Upoi? But it means, Mapik Kula Shata B'Shavis Ayoyim Pesach Ayoyim. They're always with holidays. Either they say it's Shabbos today, it's Pesach today. What he meant was, is a good Jew. You see, it says, Lekaman yodel lishna bisha kaman. There was nobody that has slanderous tongue like Haman, which means that Haman spoke Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is true. You see, Moitzi Shemra is false. But Lashon Hara is true. What Haman spoke the truth. That's why we learn a lot from Haman. What do you think we have Haman's letters for? What do we need the shtiyot of Haman for? Because we learn from Haman, what Haman said, if it wasn't true, it would be like Shema. We learn from what Haman said. So, like for example, Haman told Achashverosh, the Jews, they consider you worse than a bug. If they have $100 glass of wine, and a bug falls in, they flick out the bug and they drink it. But if the king would touch the wine, they throw it away. Ah! Now it's true. It's $100 glass of wine and a bug flew in, you'll pour out some and you'll drink the wine. But if a bug touches it, it becomes Yayin Nesach, it becomes Asbana. So it's true what Haman, he twisted it. You know, he made it inflammatory. And therefore we have to listen. So Haman said, Shineyem Gedailim, their teeth are very big. They eat. It's always a holiday, and they're always preparing for Shabbos. And even when they go on holiday, when they leave holiday in the summer and they have a bungalow, they have to make sure that there's no leaven for Pesach. So they're already thinking in the summer about Pesach. It's always Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. Hashem said, you're making fun of my Jews and their holiday, because of you I'm going to give them another holiday. So it says in the Medrash, I'm going to give them another holiday, and for the Zichra, and it's going to be, Yemei HaPurim Lo Yavru Mitoich HaYehudim, they'll never ever end that holiday. Truth of the matter is that we know that Haman of Russia, what did he do? He needed a gallows 50 amas high. Where are you going to get a gallows 50 amas high? One of his sons was the governor of Ararat. And on Har Ararat was the Teva of Nayaf. And the one of the dimensions of the Teva was 50 amas. So the Medrash says he went to Ararat and he pulled off one of the boards of the Teva. He pulled off one of the boards of the Teva and he made a gallows out of it. You see, a goyish cup. He didn't realize that the Teva, which was a vehicle to save the Tzadik Hador at the time of Noach, would once again be a vehicle to save the Tzadik Hador Mordechai during Purim. It was another. If anybody asks you what this connection between the marble and Purim is, now you know. Haman took a board of the gallows, of the Teva, made it into a gallows. Now he cut down wood that was ancient. This explains, remember when Esther said, Ish sar v'oyev Haman ara azeh. So Ahasuerus said, and in his anger, he walked out El Ginas Abizon. He walked out into the garden. And Malachim came down, and they were cutting down the royal trees. Try to do that in Windsor Castle, right? Malachim came down, and they were cutting the royal trees. And Ahasuerus said, where are you from? And they said, Haman sent us. That's what the Medrash says. But why do you think that happened? I mean, it's not true. Haman didn't send them. But because Haman went ahead and stole and cut down a wood from the Teva, Hashem's miracle boat, so now he was punished, me to that Malachim would say that Haman sent to cut down the royal garden. Everything that we see is b'mida she'ada moideid, moideid in life. Now the truth of the matter is, this is not just true by bad, it's true by good too, not just by bad. It says that every day, b'chol yom v'yom, Mordechai went to the Shara Melech, Lada says, Shloim Esther, Umal Ye Osebo. To know how his wife was doing. Das is Shloim Esther, or my Yehazaba. And Rabbeinu Shlom took note of this. Husband is interested in his wife's well-being. Rabbeinu Shlom took note of this and said, you went to see Nefesh Achas be Yisrael, then you should know that you're going to be rewarded, that you're going to be Doiresh Toiv La'amai V'Doiresh Shalom L'chol Zarai. You went L'das as Shloim Esther, it'll come a time that you'll be Doiresh Toiv and Doiresh Shalom L'chol Zarai. That's Mida Keneged Mida. This idea of Mida Keneged Mida, we had an individual, this is an individual who studied all religions and arrived at the awareness that Judaism is the true religion, and it's recorded that way in the Torah. His name was, he was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, Yisra. And he said, Ati Yadati, now I know, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, that Hashem is God. Why? Ki Badavar Asher Zodu Aleihem, Ki Badavar Asher Zodu, that which they plotted, Aleihem, fell upon them. That's, he said, look, you could make all kinds of explanations in the early 70s, 1970s, in America, there's a publication, maybe it comes to London too, does the Reader's Digest come to London? So there was a famous, an infamous article in the Reader's Digest explaining the 10 plagues in natural ways. Yes. It was a famous article. But Yisrael was smarter than the Reader's Digest, because he said, you can give me many explanations, but I see something that precludes the element of chance. And that is Ki Badavar Asher Zodu, directly proportionate, directly matching, that which they plotted, Aleihem befell them. So they didn't allow the Jews to bathe, and therefore the Jews were lice infested, so therefore the Egyptians were stricken with lice. They put our babies in the Nile, and the Nile was full of Jewish blood, and the babies munched at, the fish munched at the babies, and therefore the Nile was stricken with blood, and the fish died. They screamed and yelled at the Jews, yelling, work, 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 work! And therefore, the Tzvardea came and in hundreds of different pitches screamed and croaked morning, noon, and night. You know, there's a, it's interesting. If I would ask you to suggest to me what was the softest maka, the easiest plague, after giving it thought, you would probably say frogs. You know, I don't want boils, they hurt. I don't want boiled, they kill me and they destroy my crops. And the earth were monstrous animals all over the place. I don't want that either, right? Right, but, you know, it's right there, yeah, frog, you know, froggy here, froggy there, you know. I mean, it's a little bit squishy, and but, you know, there's an Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says, it says Tzvardeya 10 times in the Parsha to teach us that Tzvardeya was equal to all 10 plagues. Oh. An amazing Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel explains, I don't know if you ever really had to get up in the morning, so you set 2 alarm clocks. Yes. Says, imagine if you had in the room 500 alarm clocks, each one with a different sound. Ba ba ba, each one, and it was going off incessantly for 7 days. It said they couldn't sleep. It drove many Egyptians insane.
Yes.
And that was Mida Keneged Mida for screaming all the time at the Jews. They made us work in the day like in the night, So therefore their day became night with the mark of Choshech. Everything is Midah Keneged Midah. Even the fact that they were ungrateful, that Yosef supplied Bor, Beis Reish, Tzvua for the Egyptians and saved the land, that's why many of the Makas have the letters Beis Reish in them. If you look at it, you'll see Barad, Arav, Arbeh, Bicharos, Dever, many of the Makas. It's all, this is all Midah Keneged Midah. It's all measure for measure. I'll tell you a remarkable thing. Remarkable thing. We go till 9:40?
Yeah.
It's not enough time. Is Sunday a day of work in London? It is a day of work.
Not for everybody.
So it's not like in America that it's more of a it's like a regular day.
Same as America.
It's the same as America. So 9:40 is just minig avosein of your day.
9:40 better.
I mean, they try to pull that trick in the States too, you know. It says that the Yamsuf was a simple Midah Keneged Midah. And that is, they drowned our babies, so therefore their babies drowned in the night. Therefore they drowned in the Yamsuf. There's two very big questions. These are, in yeshiva we used to call it a bumba. Big question. You know, a blitzkasha. You see, when did the last baby die in Egypt? We know that the last baby that was put into the water was Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, then the astrologers saw, oh, the Moshe and Shal Yisrael was already put in the water. And they stopped drowning the baby. How long ago was that from Yetzias Mitzrayim? We know. How old was Moshe Rabbeinu? 80. So the last baby to be drowned was 80 years old. 80 years ago. How old do you think a soldier was that came to the Yamsuf? At least 20 years old. They're not sending teenagers. Right? So that means that if there was anybody that drowned a baby, he would have to be 100 years old. Not likely there was anybody that drowned a baby, drowned in the Yamsuf. What's the Midah Keneged Midah? What's the Midah Keneged Midah? So the Maril Diskin asks this question. So first the Maril Diskin gives an answer that none of us could give. He goes ahead and he gives an answer that they were all a Gilgal of the ones that drowned the babies. That's one of the answers. As I said, only the Maril Diskin could give that answer. When I was in a scholar in residence, I was in scholar in residence where? Somewhere in New Jersey. Oh, no, it was in Lakewood. I wasn't scholar residence. I was in Lakewood, and I spoke in Lakewood, and I asked this kasha in Parshas Beshalach. So there was a father that told me he came home, and he asked a question by a table, and his 10-year-old daughter gave an answer, very interesting answer. She said that it's a good Midah Keneged Midah, because they drowned our babies, and therefore now their children were being drowned. You know, that was our answer. You know, it was a cute answer, except even the children would have been 80 years old, you know, 60 years old, you know. But anyway, it was grandchildren. But then the Maril Diskin says a pshat, which it's amazing you could learn a Rashi all your life and learn it wrong. Rashi says, Ki badavar asher zodu aleim. Zodu is a language of a stew. Nezid adoshim. And Rashi says, Bekdeira shebishlu bobi shein. In the pot that they cooked, they were cooked. So everybody learns Pshat and Rashi. They put us in the water, therefore they're put in water. Says in my room, that's not Pshat. You're learning wrong Pshat. He said, the 9 million Egyptians that were chasing us, what did they want to do to us? They wanted to drive us straight into the sea. Therefore, they were drowned in the sea. That's the B'kneirish Yavishlu Babi Shayla. It has nothing to do with drowning the babies in Egypt. Because that answers the Sam Sofer's question. Sam Sofer says, if they drowned us in the Nile, then they should be drowned in the Nile, not in the Red Sea. It's not me, the Canadian leader. The answer is that it's not because of drowning the babies. That was 80 years ago. It was because the 9 million Egyptians were going to push us into the sea. Therefore, they drowned in the sea. That's the Mida Kenegamida. You know, Paro was infamous, the capos, by the Nazis. You know, I heard that little Dvar Halacha that you were talking about before, and the sinner of Parsha Zohar. We know that the Goyim says the Germans are Amalek. Actually, there was a big tzaddik, Rav Gusman, who was a partisan. And as a partisan, he killed the Nazi with his own hands. And he said when he did that, he had in mind the mitzvah Mechias Amalek. And I want to tell you that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, when he was Rav of Yerushalayim, the Chancellor of Germany came to Jerusalem. And everybody went to make a bracha, because you make a bracha on somebody that has a koyach lahomis ulachias. Like, for example, you would make a bracha, believe it or not, on President Trump. But the bracha, because an American president has a koyach lahomis, because he could call an executive strike, and he's a koyach lahachias. He could pardon somebody from death. So they went to make a bracha on the Chancellor of Germany, so Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld said he's not going. So they said, why not? He says, I'm not going to make a bracha on somebody that I'm a chiyuv to exterminate. That's what he said. But anyway, now what do we do with this Mida Keneged Mida? You have to know that it says in the Pasuk, Hashem tilcha al yad yiminecha. Hashem is a shadow over your right hand. How dare we call Hashem a shadow? You call it, you have the chutzpah to call Hashem a shadow, a mere shadow of a man? How could you say that? But a shadow mimics to perfection. Whatever we do, it's following us perfectly. That's how Hashem is. It's like a shadow. Mimics us perfectly. Now, I'm just looking at the time now. Can I have your rishus to go 6 minutes overtime?
Yes.
Sunday.
Oh, it's only Sunday. No, because in Eretz Yisrael, I believe there's no such thing as Sunday. In Eretz Yisrael. Huh?
Shabbos.
Sheishes Yamim Tavos. Also, I brought with me, I shipped it specially with great cost. I brought with me Svarim, and I got permission to sell them. I have with me 5 Svarim here, all in English. One of them is written on benching. It's called power benching. And it's all about, it's an explanation of the entire benching with stories and all kinds of interesting things. So even though that's the cheapest one, it's 20 pounds, it's soft cover, it's the cheapest, but if you're going to buy one, that's the one. I'll be glad to sign the book for anybody. Then I have a sefer called Passionate Judaism, which is about the geshmak and mitzvahs and marriage and dating. And then there's Meaningful Living, which is tamei mitzvahs. Then there's something called Challenging Times, which is about the challenges, 9/11, terrorism. Actually, it's on 3 chapters on Harry Potter, which I never believed I would sell in London. But There's a book on the Yom Narayim. And then they also have an album of CDs, 12 CDs, on the entire Pirkei Avos, a whole series on the entire Pirkei Avos. So that's available after the share. Please come and look at it. There's a word from the Baal Shem Tov. It says in the Mishnah, if you look at three things, Ayin Raya, Ayin Shemaz, V'kol Maaseh V'Sefer Nechtavim. Ayin Raya, the big video camera in heaven, Ayin Shemaz, the tape recorder, and everything is recorded, then a person won't sin. Says the Baal Shem, you don't need the whole Mishnah. Dama Lemala! If you want to know what's in store for you in heaven, if you want to know what's going to happen to you, mimcha, look at yourself. The way we behave, that's the way we're treated. And he says, I'll prove you that's chat, because mimcha is mida keneged mida. Mimcha is mida keneged mida. A person that is screams at people, then when he doesn't want it, people will scream at them. A person that's not patient, then when they're going to need a doctor to be patient with them, the doctor won't be patient. On the other hand, a person that's Moisa Nefesh, I see it in my own life. I had a tragedy. 3.5 years ago, my wife came down with a terrible cancer. Mim liba bas Rebbe Aaron, ole Hashem. And she struggled with it for 2.5 years. And during those 2.5 years, I mamish put my life aside, and I helped her, and I tried to do whatever I can. I hope to Hashem that I did whatever I could, and although the doctors gave her only a very short time to live, she had pancreatic cancer, very, very short time. We schlepped it out with my wife was a very brave and strong woman. She went for 32 chemotherapies. It's more than Auschwitz. My father was in Auschwitz. It's more than 32 chemotherapies. She was 170. When she passed away, she was less than 70. So Mida Kenegan Mida, after a year of Avelis, there's no Avelis, only a month, but after a year of waiting, Rabbi Nishab sent me Zivik Shani, again, a very, very, very good woman. That's Mida Kenegan Mida. The Rabbi Nishab works that way. In life, if you look, you'll see the way you treat people, that's the way you're treated. That's the golden rule. And we have to teach our children this. The truth of the matter is it's that way not just with the Eibishter. It's that way with relationships with one another as well. In marriage, the marital relationship is called, the joy of marital relationships is called sasan. Kimisai sasan al kala. Why? Because the word sas is a palindrome. It's read backwards and forwards the same way. Why? Because the way you treat your spouse, that's the way they're going to reciprocate and treat you. That's also mida keneged mida. The way we behave with people, if we give, you know, it says, Ezel Mechubed, who is honored? Amechabed Esabriz. Who is honored? One who honors his friend. Now, would you say that as a definition of who is honored? Ezel Mechubed, Amechabed Esabriz. Ezel Mechubed, somebody that behaves properly. That's a Mechubed. Now, we're very cynical. Yeah, he's that way only in public, but I wonder how he behaves at home. He's that way because he wants us to honor him by the next dinner. He's that way because he expects something back, quid pro quo. People are very cynical. But you know when they're not cynical? When you say to someone, you know, I like the way you daven, you really daven nice. I like the way you are with your children. What do they say then? Ooh, this man knows what he's talking about. When people give you honor, then people are not cynical about that. He's a good judge of character. Again, it's reciprocal. It's b'midah sh'adam meideid meideid in life. You know where we learn out midah k'negan midah from? And with this I'll conclude. It's actually Gemara in Sanhedrin. In Chelek. The Gemara says that one of the people that ain lam chelek l'olam haba is a kofer b'tchias hameis. And the Gemara says, why? The Gemara says, simple. If you don't believe in it, you won't get it. That's why every day we make this affirmation three times a day in Shemayna Esrei. V'nemonata l'acha yoyis meisim. Well, what's this all about? V'nemonata. Do we make any other proclamations? V'nemonata. But since it says that if we don't believe in it, we won't get it. It's the source of Midah K'negan Midah. So every day we make it our business to affirm. V'nemonata l'acha yoyis meisim. I'm from the believers. I want to get that. I want to get eternity. I want it to be after 120 that it should be a Beis HaChayim. I'm very honored to be here and to be part of this remarkable organization, Torah Way, and may we be Zayche Taka to always make Hashem proud that it should always be Midah K'neged Midah, that Hashem should reward us with good health and happiness. Parnasa B'Revach V'Chavoy. Nachas, Shalom Bayis, the BS Guild Tzedek, Bemeir V'Yameinu.
Amen. Amen.